Good morning and welcome. It's just gone 11 o'clock in Barbados, so it's time for Brass Tax Sunday, brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated. I'm your host and moderator, Corey Lane, and today we're talking all things agriculture with Minister of Agriculture and Food Security, Minister Indar Weir. So today we're looking at agriculture as a sector. It is expected to be a wide-ranging interview, and I think that we've had some discussion about agriculture. I think we've had an elevated extent of agriculture discussion due to all that is happening around us. So I believe that this interview is very timely, and I think we are now observing this at a time when we be preparing for AgriFest, and we have to forego that again because all that is happening with us. Now, for me, in my opening comments, as I lead into having this discussion with the minister and yourselves here on Brass Tax Sunday, for me, agriculture represents, at a minimum, the idea of food security. And even those who poo-poo agriculture, and this is not time to gloat, but those who poo-poo agriculture has kind of changed their view now that they've lived through a pandemic and understand that there's always a place for agriculture and growing your own food, if only for food security, in the event that there is no food coming in. The other extent are those calling upon the government to see agriculture as that sector that can reposition the Barbados economy by doing a lot more things agriculture. Now, Minister Weir, you are the chief spokesperson for agriculture for the government, and I understand it's your responsibility to represent. For me, on the other hand, I want to be able to merge that with the open and candid discussion, honest discussion on where we are. My intention is to have a very frank interview with you, give you the opportunity to speak to the public of Barbados where we are and where we're going. And for me, I don't expect you to invite us into cabinet and tell us all the trade secrets, but at the same time, I expect that you would actually tell us what's happening. It's not a gotcha interview. It is just, for me, sometimes when we talk agriculture, we don't ever get down to the root. As someone who's been around agriculture for some time, and on top of that, once the ad was aired, a lot of people start sending in information. As I told my producer, some of this I will send you and let you go, and you and the DPP could go deal with some of the issues. But the issues that we can discuss or air, I will be putting to you, and I would expect that where you can answer that you will. So let's get down to it. I know that the usual thing is when we talk about where we're going, we talk about the agro-processing, we talk about the link to tourism, we talk about the monkeys, we know how to talk about cannabis. And for me, I want to start though, let's get the negative out of the way. I want to start with where are the challenges? Where are the roadblocks? For me, I'm going to tell you, two prime ministers told me to my face, Corey, if you want to succeed with agriculture, keep from the Ministry of Agriculture. One of the two prime ministers is not the ones that we have now, so don't worry about it. But I was told that. And what some people thought, or I thought, was conspiracy theory was bared out to be, there'd be some truth in it. The whole idea of importers, food importers, fruit importers being major support campaign financiers of political parties. The technocrats, who sometimes are not very cooperative with people like the permanent secretary and the ministers. The Ministry of Agriculture has always been said to be this unwieldy ministry, a lot of inertia, the most PhDs, if you want to call it, per capita in any ministry, but yet you're not seeing the innovation and action bearing through. With all of that on your plate, with all of that on your ground, how do you, as a minister, approaching your ministry, a ministry that some see as a demotion, some cry, some fret, how do you, Minister Indar Weir, take on this whole massive task of the Ministry of Agriculture?
Well, first of all, Corey, good morning to you and Dennis, and good morning to all Barbadians near and far. I want to start by saying that I don't see my ministry as a demotion in any form, because you serve in cabinet at the pleasure of a prime minister. So therefore, nobody can raise a hand and say, this ministry for me, that one for me, etc. And we are all happy to serve and serve this country to the best of our ability. And that is what is more important. The sector has a lot to be done. We have started the process, and I tell my colleagues all the time, the way I want to approach this is by laying a foundation and then building the planks upon which we can exist. So what I've done is basically look at where we are. We've discussed it. We've looked at the past in agriculture. We looked at where we can improve, and then we've started a process of engagement with stakeholders. All of the farmers, many of the farmers will tell you that I am about the one minister that would have spent time in the field with them. And we've gone out, we've heard what it is they want. We've looked at the challenges, and I can identify some of them. For those farmers who are involved in non-sugar agriculture, and I intend to segment this conversation based on what is non-sugar, what is sugar, what is cotton, etc. The challenges we are facing are driven, first of all, by climate change. If you're not having prolonged droughts, you're getting rainfalls that are not customary at certain periods, and of course, severe flooding. For many, many decades, we've been talking about climate change, and unfortunately, the adjustment has not been made fast enough for us to be able to exist in an environment where you have extreme weather conditions or climatic events. And so therefore, the farmers would always be at a disadvantage. However, the Ministry of Finance and the Prime Minister has now given us $5.9 million to start the process of water harvesting. And that is a project that we are starting at Ribbon St. Philip. All the preliminary work has already begun. We are at the stage now, unfortunately COVID set us back again, but we are at the stage where we're gonna move towards expanding the brown spawn at river to 6 million US gallons of water. Currently, they depend on the stream from Three Houses Spring to run into brown spawn. And unfortunately, along that stream, you would find that there are farmers upstream who literally block the stream and stop farmers downstream from getting access to water. So we are correcting that, and we've already started the process to put in sluice gates, and we're going to do a metering system to provide water for farmers along the stream as well, in addition to repealing the Three Houses Spring Act, which is over 100 years old. So that approach obviously would then help us to mitigate climate change and to put farmers in a position where they can have surety and we get consistency in supply with little or no loss of crop due to flooding or droughts.
When we think about agriculture on a bigger level in terms of repositioning the Barbados economy, one of the complaints is that recently we've seen a situation where tourism is under intense pressure, almost to the point, if you want to carry it to that extent, of collapsing. Yet the one of the criticisms of government is that they've put all of this money into tourism, the hotels, bringing back tourists, etc., etc. Where on the other hand, many people felt as though that money would have been better spent expanding tourism to the point of feeding ourselves, import substitution, and also a possible export. What say you? In a cabinet discussion, is it? I know it is a case of collective responsibility. Again, I tell you, don't take me in there. Yeah. But is it a case where that is something that you fight for, and because of collective responsibility, you go with, or is it something that you actually support tourism getting all this investment? Some would say at the expense of agriculture.
Well, Corey, first of all, you know I'm from the tourism sector, so you really. And truly asking me to express a bias on something that I have for.
No comment.
But getting back, the reality of it is that we have a brutally frank cabinet, and the Prime Minister would tell you all the time. She uses the term a war cabinet because we have to get things done. And we really have to pick those things that will work. Barbados's economy has been driven for many years by tourism. It has been proven. I mean, it works. So that's the hardcore reality. We have significant investment in tourism in Barbados. So I would prefer to have the conversation along the lines of how can we create synergies between the two, and then let the investment take place between the two. And this is exactly what is happening now. Previously, I didn't see agriculture getting the level of attention from a prime minister like it is getting now. Mm-hmm. And the hard conversation in cabinet always is how do the Ministry of Agriculture and the Minister of Agriculture get things done quick enough in order for us to be able to justify continuous support for the sector. And equally, the conversation is about how do we sustain and maintain a tourism industry. People have their views about tourism. I know that tourism will come back. I equally know that once there's a vaccine in place, that you would find that this whole COVID pandemic will settle down and we would get back to a viable tourism industry. But what I would like to see is that agriculture is playing a role in terms of how do we empower people so that they can then provide for the tourism sector. And there are several things we can do, and I will use one because I am very excited about this one. We have 100 acres of land at Bath that we have determined that the Rastafarian communities across Barbados will do farming at Bath. Currently, we have two groups, and those two groups each have 20 acres of land. We are doing all the cultivation for them. If you drive up Bath now, you can see the cultivation taking place. What we are going to do is assist them so that they can get started. And what we are going to do is use that area as a sort of a site where the coaches are passing through with tourists, either from the cruise ships or long stay visitors who are doing island tours. They can actually stop in there, and we are putting in the kiosk on the veranda. So you're going to have on the veranda where you look across from Bath Plantation onto Bath Beach. We're going to have kiosks there so that the vendors, those Rastafarians who are actually planting there, can actually sell their produce in a market setting there. Barbadians can go there to purchase fresh produce, and visitors can stop in. Where the Rastas also, those who are involved in food vending, will have an opportunity to sell locally grown produce straight from the ground, straight to a visitor who wants to sample local cuisine at the ground level. And when I say at the ground level, I mean at the level where these people are planting, they're using the organic agriculture, they're cooking just the way they cook, they're doing it just the way we know it from the days when we were growing up in the villages and eating food either through from a calabash shell or things like that. That is the kind of synergy that I want to see with tourism and agriculture in order for us to get growth in the sector, but equally empower more people. And this is really my passion. How many more can I empower and enfranchise when we grow the sector? And that is the type of conversation that I would want to have, rather than a division between should it be agriculture or should it be tourism, because that is really going to take us down a path to nowhere. And the reality of it is that tourism is here to stay, and we are going to grow agriculture to support it.
Okay, I'll take that as your answer. I can touch on one thing before we take a break, and that's the idea of the synergy. Now, back in the day, my aunt is Aunt Mia, right? So when I was in primary school, it used to be into these discussions, right? And we used to talk about the synergies then. We had the problem of quantity and supply and quality. And those sort of discussions have come with us 30 years on. So that is where my skepticism comes, especially when we not talk about the tourism industry. We talk specifically about the hotel industry. How do we get that synergy where we can supply the local produce within the tourism sector so that they walk hand in hand and not work as enemies? So that's just where my skepticism comes. But I have a number of other questions. We're going to put them to you directly when we come back on this episode of the Brass Tack Sunday, All Things Agriculture, brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated.
You depend on BRC for genuine permaclad, color clad, and permaseam steel roofing products. But did you know you can depend on BRC for installation too? That's right. BRC has several experienced roofing teams to handle your roof installation professionally, using tested and proven fasteners and methods with satisfaction guaranteed. When it comes to roofing, there's no substitute for experience, and BRC's crews will give you a great job at a great price. Have your roof installed by the experts. BRC.
Okay, lots of issues to discuss here. If you're not joining us, we are on the air with Minister Indar Weir. We are talking all things agriculture. The WhatsApp number, as many of you know, Mr. Minister, they're talking a lot about the monkeys they're asking. So be prepared to answer that. That's what's coming up in my WhatsApp feed all the time. But if you want to send us a short WhatsApp, you can do so at 266-4862. Alternatively, you can join us on the telephone lines at 434-1790. Now, before we get to the chat, the whole idea of importers and kind of pandering or trying to work with the importers versus local produce, have you had to encounter that, and how have you done so?
Yeah, well, we must admit that we have a sizable amount of imports into Barbados. But this is a conversation that we often get wrong, simply because there are things that Barbados must import. So when we look at a food import bill, we always say, oh, the food import bill is so high. But we do not really do the necessary segmentation. So if we were to segment our food import bill, for example, primary agriculture, which is the agriculture produce that we grow here, is not a significant part of the food import bill. It is high. I would like it to drop to below 300 million. But it is not to say that that is the entire food import bill, because we import things like wines and coffee and all types of condiments and stuff like that that make up the food import bill. And this is something that people do not separate from the food import bill for us to have a real good and targeted conversation about what we can do in agriculture.
Minister, two people that segmenting is Dennis and myself, because I remember there's a document that dropped off the back of a truck where it showed that 18% of pumpkins are imported into the country. There's a study from back in, I believe, 2012 or something like that. Well, it was disappointing for me for two reasons. One, not only because pumpkin can almost grow well, but the fact that we had the previous minister, known on YouTube fame, when he was making a speech, this is the person you preceded, and he was talking about the fact that we are importing these things. And years later, a decade later, we are still importing these things. So we did see the breakdown. I usually walk with it. I'm surprised I don't have it on me right now, but it actually break down the things that we actually bring in and the cost per million, et cetera, et cetera. It's very disappointing. That's the fact. We have a lot of idle land, and we're bringing in these things.
Yeah, but Corey, I share your concern with that. I would not shy away from that at all. The reality of it is this. This is going to take a call upon our Barbadians, one, to recognize that there's a Treaty of Chagaramus that allows for the movement of supply within CARICOM. Okay, and so therefore, that is a treaty that was part of the Caribbean single market and economy. But the reality of it is simply this, okay? We have people who find it easy to compete with our local farmers by going and importing rather than purchase from the local farmers. All right, that's one. Two, Barbadians tend not to look to see what is imported from what isn't imported. We cannot fight the CARICOM single market economy and the Treaty of Chagaramus, but we certainly can organize ourselves to support that which is local. Many farmers came to me and said to me, especially in November, oh, I have tons of pumpkins home by me. Nobody is buying it. Now, how can I have farmers in Barbados with pumpkin that nobody's buying, but they line up and going in the supermarket and purchasing imported pumpkin? So where is the patriotism? Who are we really supporting? That is the one call that I would ask Barbadians to sit down and think through. The other thing is that I recognize that we have to expand agro-processing. And this is where the real conversations come in. Because if you have things that farmers can't get rid of, there's no reason why it should be left to go to spoilage. We should be able to process these things. Pick up a bag of pumpkin soup that is already processed from the supermarket, put it in your microwave, and you're gone. The same thing you can do for steamed pudding. And I can go on and on. I've had this conversation already at Cabinet, and I intend to do it. I've already told the BADMC that they now have to expand car meters. We are going to put in the investment for them to expand car meters. And these are the things we are going to do, because once we get this going, then farmers don't have to throw away stuff that they weren't able to sell to the supermarket or through the vendors. And the conversation about what is imported, I certainly ain't processing no pumpkin that is imported if I get to ever process it, unless we reach the point that we have to do it. That is where we have to go.
All right. The last question before I open the lines and take the WhatsApps is the whole idea of the technocrats. One of the things, and I'm talking from my own experience, I'm bringing my experience to bear within the interview now. Now, about 4 years ago, I was at the Ministry of Agriculture. I was speaking to the permanent secretary there, and I was butting around trying to, I had the document from our own parliament in terms of the approvals for certain things, and was butting around trying to find, and the guard was pointing me in this direction, and one of the technocrats was telling me, "You see this thing on this paper? I don't mind that. I ain't operating with that." I said, "Look, let me go and talk to the permanent secretary. The permanent secretary, take me outside the office." And he said, "You see those officers down there? They don't cooperate. I have to bring in consultants to do what I want done, right?" The average Barbadian would not have a problem with that. But why I have a problem with that is because I understand that we have to pay those technocrats, and then we have to pay the consultants. And I understand I'm the person who paying it when I pay them with VAT, when I buy anything, and I have to pay the government tax, I have to pay two sets of people. So I understand the issue of technocrats, etc. Now, technocrats can be very useful. They have the knowledge, the working knowledge, but they can also present obstacles. These are not things that we usually talk about, but I believe that these are at the root of why we are unable to make the type of progress that we hear from our policymakers, because a lot of the people know the policymakers, but they do not know the actual people on the ground actually doing and responsible for when the rubber hits the road. A lot of the times what you get, ministers wanting to keep morale in ministries high, so they go out and they come out and they comment, "I have the best staff, I have the wonderful, I will never, oh, hardworking people." Yes, they're those, but there are people in there that actually stop the work from being done, and we need we need to confront it.
Yeah, well, Corey, first of all, so far so good. I have not been in a position where I had to bring in any consultants. And I do recognize that at times you will have to do that. But a lot of the support we get through FAO, through ICA, and through CARDI. And they are the ones who are invariably carrying the cost of the service. So that kind of support we get, those, for example, I'm working our sanitary and phytosanitary measures so that we can have legislation before Parliament to be able to give Barbados a fighting chance to compete in the EU with the export of fish and poultry products. Sanitary and phytosanitary, there was a unit already established with support from ADB for us to be, have already been there. Unfortunately, the ball was dropped somewhere and we didn't get there. I am now at the wicket. I'm going to make sure that we get it done. And so there's a consultant that is working with us, and he's a Barbadian who helped to set up the Canadian Authority. Now, that's a resource that we can't refuse, but we are not paying for it. The FAO is paying for that. So that he is now working with us to get us to where we want to be, so that we can see improvements in our labs right across Barbados. And at the same time, we give our fisher folk and our poultry farmers an opportunity to export. This is extremely important for Barbados. And therefore, the technocrats are needed. But at the same time, we have to determine, first of all, what skill sets we have here, how they can be best utilized. We utilize those, and then you organize in a such a manner that you work through the international agencies that give us support in agriculture, so that they can then help us along the way. And FAO has been extremely helpful in a number of areas, and we can talk through some of them this morning and get Barbadians to understand how they support us and what it is they're doing.
Okay, excellent. 25 minutes after 11 o'clock, we're going to go to the telephone lines and hear what you have to say or ask on the outside. Good morning and welcome. You're on Brass Tacks Sunday.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
Fine. I call primarily to compliment the minister on an excellent job that he's doing. I would like to say that it's quite refreshing to hear the minister of agriculture, like opposed to, well, this is good. The prime minister and this present government as well is steep on agriculture. Even when the prime minister spoke in 2015, when she was in opposition, She said that you have to have a revamped agriculture, and she outlined several initiatives that the SDA became the government, that they were implementing. We've seen it happening right now with this current minister. Now, I remember how in the middle of the year, the agriculture increased by 15%, but this latter half of the year, the cash creation, the rain would, you know, would it fall off the increase. But I'm saying that he's going well, and I admire him a lot, and he do, and he's doing the right thing to agriculture. Let me say this one. I don't think Barbados should really, as he rightly said, should compete like God, tourism and agriculture in a competition. I don't think agriculture will ever replace tourism at all. And the good things, agriculture might provide 1% of the GDP to Barbados. But tourism is a high flyer that really have the standard of living in Barbados. We can't really, what we should do with, a lot of people is criticize tourism, but what we should do with tourism is see the tourism as the majority GDP earner, and all the other sectors improve on that. So, instead of taking up too much time, I would just say the minister's on the right track, and let me congratulate him.
All right. I want to thank you. Thank you very much for that. Brastak Sunday, good morning. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, I am on.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me lower this radio a bit.
All right, I want
to
thank you. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi, good morning. Go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning to you, Mr. Minister, Mr. Corey.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Yeah. I just hear the guy there just talking about tourism. And I also heard the minister talking about the project in St. John, which I am a part of it. On both sides, a defense up there. I had already carried 90 pear trees, because I started to plant pear trees before this administration come to power. And I still have more. A lot of fruit trees that I still intend to carry up there. But sometimes I know what got my head when I hear people talking about tourism, when tourism is dead. I have a friend right next door, you know, Mr. Minister, who I'm speaking about, who have taxis, and he have not made a quart since last March. So I don't know what tourism. My whole aim is, Barbados is still lacking. And what the minister doing is really open something, because since Araba obtained that land, all the present governments that come in, past government, have done nothing about it. We are importing, this is a pandemic, and this pandemic, by medical health expert, this need to have the things like, we call it vitamin C. For years I lived in 60 something years upon the face of the earth, and I have not seen an acre of oranges with the people who have all of this land. This is what we need. We need oranges. 2017, I sat in a meeting before the government come to power, our seminar at Savannah Hotel. It was something about coconut. And I say that Barbados needs 20. We should never be importing oil. I come along when my grandmother and mother and all of them, we know how to make coconut oil. But we do not have the coconut. And I ask that Barbados be. So Guyana gone in and bought and planting 1 million coconut trees since 2017. That was spoke about by the past Minister of Agriculture, Barton Clark. At that seminar, in a Harvey, all of those people were there. China, he had just took up the lead the Ministry of Agriculture.
Is there any particular question or anything you want to put to the minister? Because we got to keep the show going. Anything in particular?
I wonder when we are going to be a new tractor. If one tractor, we have a trailer up there, a ground that was resting, it have a lot of big rocks in it, and it have to be taken out. You can't go through and expect the rotivator that and break up all the kind of rotivators.
Mm-hmm.
So we need a tractor, even one tractor to serve between the two groups.
All right, I'm going to merge that question with this comment on here. This one says, good morning, Corey. Ask the minister when last he passed through St. John to see the vast amount of land stretching from what used to be pool plantation across to the section of wheat field that is just grass and bush. It is because of pretty larceny or the monkeys that nothing is being planted. To me, it is just a disgrace. Now, when I think about the land and the bush and outside of the monkeys and pretty larceny, one of the things that I know has been an issue in the past, I don't know the current situation, as when glad we have you here, Minister Weir, the idea, the understanding tractors, a lot of the equipment is usually down. And I used to say before, and I will say now, my concern used to be when we wanted to raise foreign exchange, we would go for a loan. When we wanted to raise taxes, we would go and we stand on the floor of Parliament and in 12 seconds make a proclamation. And I always thought that we should have done the harder, more sustainable thing, which is to get the tractors fixed, get them working, and convert our bush into assets, whether it be grass, stock, agriculture, crops, outside of sugar, non-sugar, as you say, various other things. Where are we with that in terms of converting a very bushy Barbados into a Barbados that produces?